Have you got a donut there, Tom?
Jam donut.
A jam donut? That's interesting. Will you say it's filled with delicious jam?
It's, I've got to eat it. Okay. I don't actually have a choice because...
I am holding a gun to you. So this does explain why you have to eat it.
It's the age-old thing of... You've got to eat all the donuts before they go bad, haven't you?
Yes, you have.
Because they turn a bit nasty after a while, after being left on the side for too long.
So. They do.
If I'd left this another day, it wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have been good. Mm. That's a shame. It's a bit like a podcast a week after it comes out. That's probably not good.
It's past its prime.
It is. Tom, I'm at attack.
We're not saying the podcast past its prime then.
No, we're not saying the podcast is past its prime.
I like to think we're entering a new generation.
Well, this is the 81st episode of this. Oh God, please don't compare us to Star Trek. Then I'm going to have to...
Shave your head.
Yeah, shave my head. Live long and prosper, etc. No, I just want to apologise for... We recorded last week's podcast on a Tuesday.
This isn't great. Starting every podcast with an apology.
Yeah, but... It's needed because I kind of dropped the ball and didn't really have time to edit the podcast, and therefore it only got released yesterday. So theoretically speaking, maybe you're listening to two podcasts back to back now and going like, why the fuck are they talking about Tuesday? They released this on Sunday. No, it wasn't. It should have been released earlier. I apologize. But we're going to get off that now because we're going to talk about things that have happened in games because lots of things have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've been on the ball.
We have. We've been watching these videos. There was a video game awards this week. There were a few things shown, like a nice video of No Man's Sky, which still looks very impressive.
I mean, I think that video didn't give any more away, really, than the last one, other than you could go through that big obelisk-type portal.
Yes.
And relocate to another world.
In their defence, I don't really think they can show that game for what it is before they flick on the server.
No, but I hope that music is playing all the time when you're playing, because I suddenly realised maybe the game doesn't actually have any music. And that fantastic music, which really is pushing these trailers above the normal realm of greatness.
Yeah, I would assume there's music. I would assume there's probably some kind of like GTA like stereo thing where you can select tunes like in your side your astronaut helmet. Or
that music is so integral for me now. That is No Man's Sky.
I think that will be kind of tied into the world. Like must be, right? Like it must be like, oh shit, there's a giant Tyrannosaurus thing that no one else has seen before. That music must kick in.
Isn't it like, correct that people have got to play this now? Wasn't there a PlayStation sort of night and evening where they had No Man's Sky and people could play it?
As part of the PlayStation experience,
yeah,
yes.
I
have not checked out to see what people's thoughts of it are because I kind of don't want to ruin it for myself. I know that sounds odd.
Oh, okay.
But like,
then we can say no more.
I've kind of stayed away from it. Have you actually looked at it?
No, I haven't.
No, okay.
I won't now.
No, but that I wasn't going to... Well,
I won't say to you if I do.
You can look at it. You can discuss it on the podcast if you want.
Well, maybe you put your fingers in your ears.
I will. I'll go, la, 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 la. No, I won't. But the point I was trying to get at was there was also a reveal of a bit of Legend of Zelda gameplay at the Video Game Awards.
Is this the Video Game Awards? What
yes,
are these?
Yes, the Video Game Awards.
Isn't it like the BAFTA Video Game Awards, is it?
It's an American... TV special thing. It used to be on Spike TV. Well, no, it's an industry recognized thing.
Yeah,
because
as a panel,
there is a panel of judges. I know Jeff Gershman of Giant Bomb is one of the panelists. Like they are people of the video game media who then vote on these things, much like they do for like E3 and PAX and all of this other stuff. Ooh, what's on eBay? What's on eBay? What's on eBay? What's on eBay? What's on eBay?
Probably late.
Anyways, while you're looking that up, this is a thing that exists. It's a media-recognized thing, at least in the United States. It is the equivalent of the BAFTAs, because the BAFTAs have included the British art film. What does BAFTA stand for?
British Academy
Film and Television Awards.
Awards.
Okay, good.
I think.
Because that has included video games. That embraced video games very early on, and that's part of that. But the VGAs is a Game of the Year thing. But, like, Game of the Year is so subjective. Because, I mean, theoretically speaking, someone could listen to our podcast and say, well, this game won Tom and Matt Attack's Game of the Year. We can put that on the front of the box now. Not that they would. But, like, you see games like Assassin's Creed Black Flag last year had, like, winner of over 36 Game of the Year awards.
I think Destiny's the worst one for it.
Yeah.
It was 140 awards before it even come out.
Yeah, and what a disappointment that was.
Most promising game.
Best online experience of the VGAs, though, Tom. I bet they didn't pay for that. Dragon Age Inquisition, best game of the year. Because it's the only one that's only partially broken by a major publisher.
Nintendo, best developer of the year.
Yeah, oh, well, that was well deserved. It should have won best game of the year for either Mario Kart 8 or Bayonetta 2. So,
Mario Kart 8 won best sports slash racing title.
Yeah, because the rest have been Madden and broken Forza games.
No, I don't know about much about these broken, supposedly broken Forza games.
Well, like Forza Horizon 2 is supposed to be all right.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's DLC heavy.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyways, Zelda. What?
Yeah, no, sorry. I was going to mention Toy Box Turbos was not considered for best racing game of 2014.
It wasn't. That's a shame.
It should have been up there.
Well, it wasn't really out before, was it? Like, Smash Brothers only kind of like snuck in.
Full retail?
I think it's full retail, I assume, anyway.
Sorry, you've been itching to talk about Zelda.
Yeah, looks bloody good. I'm quite excited for it.
A return to the open-endedness of perhaps the original Legend of Zelda.
Yes, this is my thoughts, that it will be like the NES game, but in a big 3D world, which kind of seems nice to me. Like, Ocarina of Time felt like it was a huge 3D world, but, like, if you go back and play it now, it's a pretty small field you have to run across.
Are you concerned about the amount of time it takes to get from place to place?
No.
It might become a sort of Wind Waker scenario.
I loved Wind Waker.
Okay.
Wind Waker is my favourite Legend of Zelda game.
Looks like they're making it easy enough for you to get from one place to the other with this kind of auto horse control.
Yes. And
it dodges trees.
Yeah, it does dodge trees, which is something that's often irked me about Ocarina of Time, that I can run into a bloody tree when I'm trying to fire a boomerang or throw the bow.
Whatever happens, Nintendo are going to make a user-friendly experience. For those who are worried about perhaps it being too grandiose or open-ended.
I'm very excited for it to be grandiose and open-ended because I'm tired of
but without
departmentalized
some sort of
Zelda games.
Yeah. Nintendo will look after you, though, as a player, I'm sure.
Well, they tend to, yeah. I mean, obviously, they're going to throw in things like Link Between Worlds had, like, the fortune teller tell you where to go, much like the original.
That's my fear. Because that's why I don't play games like Oblivion or Fallout, because I get lost and don't. But I get overwhelmed.
You do get overwhelmed, but you can find your way in those games. Like, there is a marker on your map telling you where to go for the story, and you can fast travel there.
Yeah,
like,
as long as I have to pick locks in New Zelda, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Continue.
Okay. looks pretty nice. As you've mentioned, the auto run on the horse is a nice additional feature. The fact that this map is so big is very exciting for me because I like big worlds. Like, that's one of my.
And you cannot lie.
Some other brothers might deny that when Miyamoto walks in with an itty bitty game and a Wii U controller in your face, I get sprung. That was more force than it needed to be. I don't know.
Killed it now.
Sailcloth being in it, kind of, as our good friend Wes said, not a good friend Austin, mentioned that he was kind of interested to see if it was continuing from Skyward Sword, but I don't think it will be.
The
art direction and stuff.
They probably liked and thought they could use it, so they did.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I subscribe to the theory that The Legend of Zelda is literally that it is a legend retold by different generations and different people, and so it is essentially the same story retold over and over again.
I don't know why people get so hung up on what, why, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, we bitching more, and like, we were watching Uncharted 4 from the PlayStation Experience earlier, and I was just kind of saying, like, well, yeah, it looks nice, but still Uncharted, like, you can still see where you have to climb denoted by certain things, and it feels like Tomb Raider. I mean, they're just remaking that same game over and over again, and I kind of admitted to you while we were watching it that, well, I don't really like Uncharted games, because I kind of don't really like that big third-person adventure where I have to climb and be stealthy and shoot people.
That's to say that perhaps the most convincing faces in digital faces I've seen in a video game.
Especially on in-game footage as well.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. But and as you just mentioned, the landscape, the
scenery and stuff. Scenery. The AI in that game did seem pretty nice. I'm certainly sure we'll talk about it more in a bit, but that idea of remaking games, because that's all it pretty much is Zelda is a game
that keeps getting remade because
it is Zelda. Yeah. Like, they are the dynamics that make it Zelda. And I was bitching the morning that the elements that make Uncharted.
But this Zelda game's far more of a step forward than I think perhaps the Uncharted game.
Yes, and this is what I was saying. Like, I would argue that when Nintendo does it, they do push things in a new direction and they do make things in an open world.
Well, that's right. Just use Wind Waker as an example of them doing something totally different with Zelda. I think every Zelda game pretty much has had its own individual stamp on it. They've never treaded quite the same ground twice, really.
No, I mean, especially if you look at the difference between Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword. Huge leaps in both gameplay mechanics, what they're trying to achieve with the motion controls, what they were doing in terms of art direction, even. Twilight Princess is very dark and broody, whereas in Skyward Sword, it's kind of more a return to Ocarina. It's kind of like childlike, bright graphics.
And even games which are mechanically very similar, like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. Still, Majora's Mask had its own atmosphere and, you know, its own feel,
yes,
shall we say.
Unfortunately, none of the other games after it were like Spirit Tracks, and we can all be thankful for that.
We not like that one?
No, I'm not a fan of Spirit Tracks.
Okay. I've never played it.
It's not very good, in my opinion. But yeah, so New Zelda, and also the startling revelation that Star Fox
is going all right, yeah.
Also be out before Zelda.
Oh, that was it, before Zelda, yeah, next year.
Which is interesting.
I suppose Zelda will be Christmas, won't it?
Yes.
And Star Fox will be
before Christmas. June or something. Like, well, I have hopes. Hopefully if Zelda's not out at Christmas, it'll be like a August game, I hope.
I don't know. It's an epic undertaking, Zelda. Zelda's a game notorious for being delayed.
Yeah.
I think Star Fox will be a sort of scale-back experience. I don't expect Star Fox to be massive. I don't know. I'll see.
I don't really think the Star Fox... Once you've got the key mechanics of Star Fox down, once you have the shooting, you have the barrel roll, you have the somersault, you have an open-ended arena in which you can shoot ships, Star Fox isn't really that much of a game on paper that would require that much other than new sprites and new environments.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be built all around the unique gamepad controls, and I think it might potentially not be the Star Fox experience that maybe we know and love.
I fucking hope it is. Otherwise, I'm going to be very annoyed. I love that series.
But I mean, on one hand, it's going to be interesting to see, because they're developing some new control method, which should be... It's got to be interesting because it's Miyamoto.
At which point is me? I'm dreading the game that will prove that Miyamoto is no longer the innovative creator that he once was and is a crazy old man.
And's gone a bit mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, looking at Zelda and looking at how they had to look around with the Wii U gamepad to select the tower, that was the only thing in that whole play-through thing of 5 minutes. I was like, oh, boy, why did you have to do that? I hope I can turn that off. I hope I can just, like, lift the gamepad and use the D-pad to do it.
But then again, if it's anything like the Toad minigames in Super Mario 3D World, you always have the option to use the stick to look around.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
As opposed to using the gamepad.
Waving the controller around like a lunatic.
Because it gets quite awkward when you have to...
Yes, it does.
...throw it all around your head.
It really does.
But I think it's cool, but it's not always what you want.
Yeah, I agree.
Cumbersome.
Is it wrong that I'm actually considering taking my Wii U home for Christmas?
No, why would it be wrong?
Because I thought to myself, hey, I could play it on the train. I'd be on a train for 3 hours. I'd play my Wii U on a train.
I'd just play a portable console.
I could play a Game Boy, but half of me wants to play Bayonetta 2, and I'm like, well, I'm going to travel, and then I'm going to be on a train for 3.5 hours. Why not just play Bayonetta?
I mean, you could do it.
Yeah, I'm going to try
as
and
long
mod.
As the plug could extend long enough.
Well, it's under your seat, so as long as
under
I take...
Under your seat?
Yeah, on the first Great Western trains. They send
you
a seat.
Okay. We're not talking about taking a Danish train then.
No.
Where the plug sockets are above you.
Yes, I'm talking about the UK.
Mm. Okay.
Because I don't have to travel to Copenhagen like you do, Thomas, to catch a flight back to the UK. But yeah, Zelda looks good. Excited to see what Star Fox is. I hope it's a proper Star Fox game because I've been playing X on the Game Boy recently, which is the spiritual prequel to Star Fox.
You say prequel?
Yes, it is.
Like threequel.
No, I was going to say sequel, and then I realised, no, that comes after. Okay. This is a game that came before Star Fox, and therefore Dylan... Oh, God, I've forgotten the guy's name. The guy who made Star Fox for Nintendo, and is majorly, majorly underplayed as the guy who made that game, and it's still seen as a Nintendo franchise. It kind of makes me a bit angry, but X is a very good game. I'll put it on a biographic soon. But I was playing that today, and I was like, fuck, I love this game. Whole idea of flying around an area and stuff is very cool. Yeah.
What other exciting news, really? Yes. Well, we're on the subject. We should probably talk about the PlayStation Experience.
Yes, I was going to say the PlayStation Experience. Some things under that. As I've seen on Kotaku, the ultimate troll that there's a GIF going around of Final Fantasy VII's release on the PS4. Mm-hmm. It's just the PC release, and everyone kind of, they build it, apparently, in the PlayStation Experience as if it was going to be a full HD remastering of, like, a new console game of Final Fantasy VII that was coming exclusively to the PS4. And then they showed the trailer, and it's just the PC version done a little bit nicer.
Do you think that they can make such a thing of such an old game being available on the PS4? I mean, you can play it on PS3.
No one cares. There's a huge backlash against it online because it's just like, thanks, Square, because they apparently it's going to be quite expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, don't everyone who wants to play Final Fantasy VII now probably own it?
Yeah, I would imagine so, in some shape or form.
In some shape or form. And what's really going to make them rebuy it again? The fact that the graphics are high resolution?
No, because, I mean, you could just download the PC version anyway.
Oh, you can.
It's on Steam.
It's on Steam, yeah.
So I imagine anyone.
If you have access, not everyone like myself has access to a PC where they can.
Then play the PlayStation 1 or the Vita or the PSP or any other consoles that this game is available on. It's one of the biggest selling games of all time. Mm. It's not that hard to get hold of a copy.
So that wasn't the big news, really, was it? The big news is Street Fighter V's exclusive to PS4 and PC.
Exclusive! Fuck! How much do you think they paid Capcom for that one? That's a game changer, in my opinion. Like, the fighting game community is a very small niche, I guess, within the overall scheme of games.
But Street Fighter 4 has been regarded as one of the greatest fighting games of all time.
But I mean, like, Street Fighter itself, that name carries a lot of weight, even with my brother, for example, who was a big Super Nintendo Street Fighter 2 player back in the day. He bought an Xbox 360 because Street Fighter 4 came out. Like, he doesn't really play games, and he bought it because he was like, I want to play Street Fighter.
So there may be a few more people picking up PS4.
I would imagine there would be.
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Let's see what they do with it. I mean, it's looking nice.
Yes.
Is the gameplay going to be a major upheaval from Street Fighter 4? Probably not. We probably wouldn't want it to be as refined and polished game as that one was in its many
iterations.
I can never say that word.
Iterations,
is that it?
Yes.
Which we'll also see as an exclusive on PlayStation 4 will be Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 Turbo Revival Mega
Which is
Mix.
A physical edition, though, right? That is.
I think so. I don't know. And but it's exclusive.
It's very interesting because, I mean, they must have had this one up their sleeve for a while because of the PlayStation 4 for the player thing. Like, Ryu featured quite heavily in that when the console launched like a year ago. My people were like, why the fuck is Ryu in this? Like, there's no Street Fighter game on there. And everyone was like, oh my God, is Street Fighter 4 going to be exclusive? And no, it's Street Fighter 5. Mm. Like, I bet there were some very glum faces at Microsoft when that was announced.
Let's see just how much clout Street Fighter has. So
I would imagine more than you would think.
More than their exclusive of Tomb Raider, perhaps.
Well, that's a timed exclusive. This is an exclusive exclusive. This is being
confirmed. But I'm trying to think of anything else which is an exclusive. New IPs like Sunset Overdrive,
but
it's not got as near enough the
no,
same.
No, a new IP's not really got the same clout as it. Like
Street Fighter.
And I mean, I've not really seen anyone really get excited about their own franchises. Like Halo 5 looks vastly different from previous Halo games. And I saw a lot of backlash when footage from that leaked. The Master Chief Collection has done nothing to quell people's fears that 4343 aren't really taking this series in the right direction. No one really cares about Gears of War now that it's not being made by Epic.
Are they still making another Gears game?
Microsoft bought the rights to Gears of War from Epic. So there will be another Gears of War game.
Sad its day, isn't it? That judgment didn't get much.
No, it did not. It didn't. It's kind of got me worried because I want games as much as I kind of poo-poo on the Xbox One. It's because it's not doing anything right for me at the moment. And I think this is it's still early days. I mean, if you look along the PS3 and the Xbox 360 were out, those consoles did 7-8 years and there's still recent games for them. This is a bit of a turn, though, I think. I think other things Metal Gear Online being shown in the PlayStation Experience.
Not an exclusive yet.
What I will say to that.
It was a good move. It's a strong move from Sony there. They showcased a lot of exciting games that were coming. Some exclusive. I think Grim Fandango, the remastered exclusive PS4 and Vita.
There will also be a remastered version of Day of the Tentacle, which I'm very excited for. Because that's a fucking brilliant game.
Bastion will be brought to the Vita and the PS4.
You might know, one of my favourite games. I will buy it purely because my 360 doesn't really see much of my shelf time anymore. It's kind of dying.
Interesting game was announced called, what was it called? Drawn to Death.
Yes, from the makers of God of War, believe it or not.
San Monaco Studio, yes. Is it? And that looked really cool. I really love the visual aesthetic. It's sort of a third-person deathmatch type game. Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Maybe similar to something like, made me think of Mad World, but then it also made me think of Gotham Imposters.
Made me think of, is it Anarchy Reigns?
Anarchy Reigns was also another game that's brought to mind in its kind of approach. It's visual style Mad World,
but it
looks like it's drawn in a sketchbook, a notebook, which is awesome. Pens. And
yeah.
I was very interested in the visual look of it, but Matt pointed out that perhaps
I couldn't really see any enemies. When they were showing the gameplay footage, sometimes they'd have things above their heads, but that didn't really do much for me because it was a big open world and then there was no real contrast between the characters in the background.
That's always a problem for me in these modern shooters in Call of Duty. I know the idea is they're meant to be camouflaging, you're not meant to see them, but it does frustrate me that sometimes you really can't see what you're meant to be shooting at. And I think it's quite important in a video game to be able
I
to do that.
I feel as I'm growing older, I don't really give a shit about fast-paced, only multiplayer games, and there was Killing Floor 2 was announced, and that's kind of a Left 4 Dead style thing, and I was like, that looks pretty
really
fun
bloody,
if you're into that kind of thing,
over
but
the
like
top, yeah.
I didn't really care, I liked Left 4 Dead because it was a Valve game, and then I kind of played it for a bit and lost interest. By the time the second one came out, I didn't really care. So it'll be interesting to see.
There's a few other quirky indie titles announced.
Shovel Knight is coming to the PlayStation.
Have you heard with the Kratos boss?
Really?
Yeah.
I was actually saying that to you. I hope that when Bastion comes over, it has some of the stuff that it did on Steam, GLaDOS being a boss and the portal things as turrets instead
It's nice that you get something a little different. If you maybe, you've already got the Wii U version. In a way, it's sad that probably Wii U's killer indie app is now no longer exclusive and
Nintendo are doing all right. Nintendo have got some good games on the console to sell it anyway. And I mean, let's be honest, your Shovel Knight wasn't going to sell consoles.
No, it's never going to happen. It's positive that more people can play.
I'm glad that more people can play that game because it's honestly very, very good. And that's what I'm excited about. I'm still going to complete it on the Wii U anyway, I think. Because I like playing it on that little gamepad.
I wonder if Shovel Knight will also be available on Vita.
I assume so. I can't see why it wouldn't.
Because it's on 3DS. Some nice announcements from Sony. There were others as well. I can't remember all the names of some of the titles, but I think it looked like a strong lineup embracing the indie developers very much.
I would say that it's perhaps a sign of things to come that Sony are trying to step away from E3 or other such events and trying to start going in Nintendo Direct.
It's a lot easier, isn't it?
It is, because, I mean, obviously they control when they can announce things. They can announce things more frequently. And they make this like a big star-studded event kind of thing and showed all of these big guns off. But, like, you know, they do these game shows all the year. It must cost a lot of money for them. Mm. For them to put on, like, one or two events of their own per year is probably cheaper than them having to worry about going to E3. And
with this PlayStation bus that's gone around America. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that and people would request for the bus to visit their town, that they'd give a reason why it would be nice for them to visit, and they get to play all the new games. So, you know, Sony do sink a lot of money into promotion like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it also means from their perspective as well, like, I don't think they'll stop doing things like PAX and EGX and like these big consumer-driven things. It means people can play games that are coming out fairly soon, like a month or two before they're coming out in the most part. And obviously that gives good vibes to consumers, people who are going to buy the game, and gives you a chance to play it. With things like E3, like, can you imagine how much of a hassle that must be? It must just be like them trying to bid for attention while everyone else is trying to bid for attention. I guess, like Nintendo, they're just kind of like, well, the people like Nintendo games are going to buy Nintendo games, so we'll just do the Direct.
Yeah, I find it odd that Sony would go take that stance. So
I think they need to. Like, I imagine it's a lot of money that they're then, like I said, they're having to compete with every other thing, whereas they can just hold this one-off event and then just bring all the press to them, and then not have to worry about Microsoft releasing prices of whatever. And
so Microsoft have got to follow with something similar, haven't they? I think it's only makes sense now that
I fucking hope so.
There's such a huge Sony buzz, I guess, at the minute with the 20th anniversary of PlayStation. It feels like right now Microsoft would be very wise to kind of push something.
I'll be interested to see end of year numbers, because from what I saw after Black Friday, they managed to sell a lot. But like, when they've got to the stage where they're releasing bundles with big games, like big holiday selling, like 50, 60 quid games for 320 quid, like when they're willing to do those kinds of deals, it feels a little desperate.
I don't know if they're as desperate as that, yeah.
I think they need to close that gap, Tom. Like, they've sold like 4 million to 8 million. Like, they literally, there's
I didn't know the figures. So.
There's two PlayStation 4s in the market for every Xbox. And those are shipped consoles in the same, in Microsoft's case. Which means they've produced and sent these to Walmarts and Tescos and whatever else. It doesn't mean they've sold.
Yeah.
PlayStation's numbers are, this is how many consoles we have sold.
Still, the Xbox One's not a failure yet.
Of course not. It's so early in the days. Like, look at the PS3. Everyone was like, oh my God, the PS3's done for. Everyone's got a 360. Oh, that kind of turned around. Like, I think at the end of the day, there is a strong indication that the PlayStation 4 may be, I don't want to say the winner of this console generation, because that's stupid to say. Like, I think that the PlayStation 4 may be the console that a lot of people will now buy their generic third-party games on, like your Call of Duties and your Assassin's Creeds and whatever. But I think maybe that the Xbox, if Microsoft gets their act together quite quickly, could become like the PS3 was, where it's got quirky games you can't get anywhere else. Because that was my problem with the 360, that it had very, very little exclusives compared to the PS3. And I think now that this is starting to show that the PS4 is the console to get, because these new consoles came out earlier than everyone expected to in the industry. It kind of screwed them over as a result that everyone's trying to push out games to have something on these new consoles, because people are buying games for these new consoles. They weren't particularly finished, and then they shipped them hoping no one would see these errors. But, I mean, as you've experienced yourself with Toybox Turbos, and I mean a lot of people have experienced with various games on the PS3, the PS4 and the Xbox One, a lot of the times they're updating these firmwares and they're fucking the games up. So like, maybe the consoles themselves aren't finished. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they pushed for an earlier console generation just to get something out the door to be the first one to launch, and maybe they weren't ready.
I think we've just seen a lot of rehashes of old games with better lighting. I've said this before.
Yeah, I know. I feel you too. And I'm kind of glad that when you're seeing these things, the PlayStation 4 experience and stuff, things like Shovel Knight, and what was that one, Lost? It was a third-person game. It kind of reminded me of Metroid. It was a girl with blonde hair.
I can't remember what it was called, but it was a very pixely sort of...
Games like that are starting to excite me because they're the games I like to play. Obviously, as anyone listening to this is probably more of a retro guy than a modern-age console player anyways, I suspect. But I honestly fear that we may be heading towards another video game crash. Like,
really?
I
don't think it's that bad.
There's less video games out per year. Like I was saying to you earlier, like we were talking about, we were going to do a Game of the Year podcast next week to finish off the year. And I've not really played many games that have been new releases, and most of them have turned out to be to the benefit of the fact that they're broken once they're launched. But like, I don't really know that many games I've played over this last year, short of Nintendo titles, compared to last year where we had a very strong end of a console generation launch where everything was fine and everything was really good because they've been working on these consoles for years.
Weird time for games at the moment, I think.
It is. Like, what the fuck's up? Like, Assassin's Creed and Master Chief Collection came out of the gate. They're still not working 100%. They're still not working how they should be. And then, like, Dragon Age Inquisition may have won the video game of the year and the VGNs and stuff. VGAs even, not VGNs. And it's still a broken game. Like, there's still crashes. It's still, when you enter certain areas in Fast Track, like, you get booted to the PlayStation or Xbox One dash because the game freezes. Or, like, sometimes in conversation, the characters will just keep looking and then never say anything again. You have to reboot the game. Like,
it all makes you feel like, well, why don't I stick to the Wii U?
Yeah, like, but, I mean,
the most consistently good experience.
Let's say this now, like, Nintendo is making good games, yes. Nintendo have always made games with an extremely high level of polish. However, no one else is making games for that console because of how difficult they made the architecture.
It's not financially viable, isn't that?
Well, no, it's because it's not financially viable because they didn't go with everyone else. They said, this is how we're going to program from this console. This is the RAM and stuff we're going to put in. And essentially, to port a game over, like if it was like a PS4 or the Xbox One, they could literally just port the game over if it used the same kind of PC code that those two consoles do. They can't do that. They literally have to have a team make the game from the ground up, which is something Nintendo are very, very stupid to do. So it means that a Watch Dogs gets delayed because it needs the resources to have people to make the fucking game.
Watch Dogs only just come out again. On Wii U, yeah.
And that worries me because they haven't been good. Like, I honestly foresee a year or two before they release a new console. Despite how good the quality of games are on there, I think that they will have to do I think they will have to make a new console. I can't see any other way of them pulling this out. And they've got money in the bank to keep making Wii U games if they want. I just don't think they will because I don't think it makes much sense. I think they need to make a new console.
The Wii U's not going to be around as long as the previous generation.
It's going to be a GameCube. It's going to have 3-4 years, 5 years maybe. I can't remember how long it was. Then they're going to release a new console because they can't afford not to. If anything, it's probably the N64. It's going to have like 4 years tops and then they're going to release a new console.
It's not like the setup with the other two.
Yeah. Sony and Microsoft need to really start looking at these fucking games that they're publishing on their consoles instead of just taking money from Ubisoft.
Let's
and
have
EA
a seal of quality
else.
For Sony and Microsoft here.
You joke about that, but like not as in the Nintendo, like, hey, let's cut corners on the market, make sure that only people that we say can publish.
No, but some quality control.
But there needs to be some quality control. Like, especially for Microsoft's sake, like, for fuck's sake, the Master Chief Collection is a bunch of games that are, at this point, 10 years old.
See, I don't quite understand what's happened with that.
They fucked up the matchmaking because the matchmaking on the new consoles isn't as good as it was. Because they've tried to do new things and they've tried to make it Facebook and everything else. Instead of just sticking to a party system where you can fucking play with people, they've overcomplicated everything. And
I really feel like I need to try the Xbox One and get an idea for myself what that console is all
about. As soon as they release games, I will buy one. At this moment in time, much like my PS4 is currently sitting dormant, there are no games out that I want to play on either of them. And that worries me. Because this is 2 years into a console. Like, if I think back to the 360, yeah, games were sparse for the first year or so. Like, I played King Kong, I played Tony Hawk's American Wasteland. I had Call of Duty 2, which is a good game, and true, like, in all fairness to Activision, Advanced Warfare does seem like a very, very competent game that I'm actually kind of tempted to buy because there's fuck all else to play. And then I start thinking, and you've got other games, like, I know everyone else hates it, but I really liked Full Auto, which came out in the second year. And then you've got Gears, and then you've got Viva Pinata. You've got games in the second year of the console, like, within the first year of it being out as it came to its anniversary. You haven't got that now. Like, what the fuck is there to play on the PS4 other than Destiny, which is a hollow shell of a game?
I think we're going to hit it soon. I think both consoles hit their stride very soon. And it's nice to see the Wii U finally getting there.
But, like,
so I think things will look up soon. Let's end this a little bit on a positive note.
I just want to say, though, you were saying that things will get there. PlayStation Experience. Short of rehashes of old franchises, Uncharted, which admittedly, like I said, looked good. Arkham Knight, which looked good, which has been the fourth in the Batman game, even though they want to say it's the third. Street Fighter V. All of the other games that were announced there are old games or old school aesthetic games which are cheaper to make.
Well, there was some, but
which are being brought. No Man's Sky is the most glaringly obvious example of a new innovative game that is taking control and using these consoles in ways that we've not seen before. Everything else, as you say, is just an old game with updated graphics.
Other than some of the indie titles, which were
other than some of the indie titles,
you've got to give credit to some of these games. I think Drawn to Death is something to it.
Yeah.
I think there were other games in that roundup, some which hardly gave away what they were about.
No.
Which
leads me to believe that they're very early in development and they just needed to fill time.
So, as I'm saying, there's still these hints that there are things happening behind the scenes. We've just not seen them yet, and we're going to have to wait a little bit longer, I think. Hopefully not too long.
I hope at E3 this year, well, next year, we see games.
Let's see, because a lot were brought up at E3 last year, which we haven't heard of for a long time. We haven't seen what Suda51's working on for a while, since that brief trailer back at E3, I think.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I hope.
I haven't lost hope yet.
I'm kind of getting there, to be honest with you.
I'm quite happy playing on my Wii U casually. So.
You also don't own a next-gen console yet.
I don't. But
what does that say?
It says that I'm tempted by a grey PS4.
Yeah, it does.
Not necessarily on what I can play on the PS4, but the fact that...
I am
interested in that fighting game from Double Fine, Beasts. What's it called?
Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I'd buy that because I saw that a long time ago when it was announced for PC, and I thought I'd like to try that.
Yeah, okay. Right, let's talk about what we bought and played very quickly then, because we've taken up 48 minutes.
No way, talking
about all of this other stuff.
Oh, I think it was an interesting week. I think it had to be talked about.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you took up a large majority of the podcast, which is good, because I've not really played anything.
Did you know that last week we didn't talk about anything we'd bought?
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
That's weird.
I mentioned I bought Sonic Boom, of course, but there were games I bought last week which I didn't mention.
There are games I bought last week that I didn't mention.
Maybe we should mention them.
Maybe we should.
Okay. Shall I start?
Go for it. I feel like I've been talking for ages, ranting about the state of the console generation.
I don't. These are all retro games, by the way. I bought Desert Speed Trap, so I'm Roadrunner for Mass System.
Oh, great. You bought it after watching me play Looney Tunes, I suspect.
No, actually, it was unrelated. Oh, totally unrelated. Really? It's like you started playing Looney Tunes after I... I was sold
weird
on this game by the cover art on eBay.
Okay, interesting.
And then I watched a very short clip and thought, well, it looks interesting. Cool. On a whim, I bought a Master System game. It's not often I do.
Yeah.
I've not got a huge collection of Master System games, but I've got all the ones from my childhood, six or so, and then I've got a few more that I picked up over the years. But every so often, I like to get one.
Okay.
They're all good ones.
Yeah.
A game which I wanted to play as a kid for PC, I never got around to doing so, is called Toonstruck.
Okay.
This was a point-and-click adventure game.
I remember you mentioning
starring
this.
Starring Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, that's where, okay.
Yeah. He was the creator of a cartoon who ends up going into this cartoon world, a little like Cool World.
Yes.
And interacting with these characters, creating and going on an adventure.
Okay, cool.
It always interested me. The box art was pretty freaky.
Yeah.
And like a clown and a bunny, and it looked weird. Not cute. Mad Dog McCree for CDI with the, I think it's called the Peacekeeper Revolver, the
yeah!
blue CDI gun. Because I already have Thunder in Paradise for CDI. So I thought, well, I've got to get the gun now to fully enjoy Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, man.
So, Mad Dog with gun.
I wish the CDI wasn't such a large console so you could bring back so we could play Thunder in Paradise.
Well, the CDI 450 isn't a big console.
Interesting.
I may be able to do that.
Interesting.
I also bought Cluedo for the CDI.
Which comes with pens
with
and
pens
paper.
With pens and paper, so you can play a proper Cluedo game on a virtual board.
I've bitched and moaned about this before, but your enthusiasm for it is too,
we'll see. I'll tell
too
you
adorable
after,
to shoot
I'll tell
down.
You after Christmas.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be good Christmas fun.
You bought it and you informed your girlfriend about it and she said, but I've already got Cluedo.
Yes.
She kind of took a bit
but
of the wind out of
your sails. She hasn't played Cluedo CDI yet.
No, exactly.
I
That's
discovered today you can buy Cluedo CDI The Mystery Continues.
Oh, shit the
a
bed.
A sequel.
Shit the bed. Only so much Cluedo you can play. Maybe there's new things in it. Maybe you should get that too, just to
maybe.
Prepare.
Continuing my trend of buying CD-based consoles. And games. Time Gal for the Mega CD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought it.
How much was that?
£19.
That's not too bad.
It's not in its proper box, but it's in a regular single CD case.
Yeah, but like, isn't that game like upwards of like £50-60?
No, £25-30.
That's
all right. I saved a few pennies just for it being in a different box. It's got the manual, it's got the disc.
As long as it's the game, it's all
it
that matters.
It takes up less space on the shelf.
Exactly.
In fact, my Mega CD collection, a lot of them are unboxed. I've got Batman Returns unboxed, BC Races unboxed, KO's Flying Squadron unboxed demo.
Well, you know, if it knocks a couple of hundred quid off Snatcher, why not?
Yeah, why not? One day I will get to Snatcher.
I know.
Mark my words, I will find it.
Yes, one day.
And that's all the games I bought this
okay.
past week. And I had a very nice gift from Matthew Boyle of Snowboard Kids, the N64.
You're very welcome. It's a delayed birthday present.
I have to admit, I haven't had time to play yet.
It's okay. Don't worry.
It's on my agenda.
Been a busy week. I picked up a few Game Boy games. Surprise, surprise. Did I mention last week that I got a Game Boy Light, finally?
I don't think you did.
I don't think I did. Yeah, I picked up a Game Boy Light.
I've heard very little about your Game Boy Light.
It's because it's a Christmas present. So it
but
was...
how did you get it? Where did it come from?
Well,
what
there was.
There?
There's been one on a local like Gumtree Craigslist thing that I've talked about before, a Danish one. And this guy's been had it for ages. And every time I log into this site and search for Game Boy stuff, like, it keeps popping up in, like, because there's, I do it by date, so I check daily if anything else has been listed. And recently, people have been buying stuff from under me, which kind of started to annoy me, that people are starting to buy Game Boy games very aggressively on there. it kind of sucks for me, because, like, I'm over halfway now, as I've said many times. I'm almost at 200 to go. And every time I keep going to buy stuff and going like, that's a really good deal on Joe Mac Caveman Ninja, like, as I click refresh, it's there. I message them and go like, hey, how much is postage? And they either don't reply or they get an email back straight away going like, sorry, sold. Like, so there's someone literally camping on this website, I think, and then just buying everything.
Oh, if only you could find out who he is.
I don't know. Tell me about it. but I've seen this Game Boy Light on there. Every time, because there's a sidebar of like other ads that like you may be interested in this, and because I keep looking at that and keep seeing it in the sidebar, every time I click on it, I'm like, well, that's pretty fairly priced. It was up there for 650 kroner, which is surprise the going rate for one.
Is it really?
It was only
70 quid.
It was only released in Japan. It's very coveted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable.
Like a boxed one will sell for upwards of 300. £280 to £300 for a box Game Boy Light.
Wow.
I want one purely for, I wanted to play one to have the curiosity because it is the shape of a Game Boy Pocket. with a battery pack at the back, so you can actually light it up.
It's got better battery life.
It does have better battery life. And I wanted to try it. And every time I keep seeing one, like I said, I don't really want to bid on one on eBay, because I don't want to get into like the, I'm going to get it in my light, and then paying upwards of like,
yeah, the bidding war
for it. And so I kept seeing this one. And it was 650, and I was like, all right, okay. But it had been on there for a while, because obviously it isn't a steal like a lot of the other games are. And I seem to notice this with this Danish site.
Okay.
Unless something is way below price, which is why I got so many Game Boy games, because they've been well below market value.
Mm-hmm.
No one buys them. If they're on eBay prices, no one cares. Like, if they know they can buy them somewhere else, then no one goes through the hassle, which is odd to me, because shipping them from in Denmark is cheaper than buying them on eBay. But I've been noticing this Game Boy Light, and literally, like I said, I've seen this since I said I was going to start collecting Game Boy stuff.
Yeah.
And I kept looking, and I kept looking, and I kept looking, and I was with my girlfriend in Aalborg, which is a town to the north of Denmark, where her sister and her boyfriend lives. And it was on there, and I kind of hinted to my girlfriend, like, well, maybe I'll get that for Christmas. Like, if you can't figure anything else out, just get me this. And I was on there, and she's like, oh, well, maybe. And I said, like, so I joked about it. And she's like, well, we're in Aalborg. Do you want to message him?
Oh.
And then I said, hey, if I can buy this to get, I will give you 500 kroner for it. And he goes, all right. So we went there to this guy's house, and he Japanese, but he spoke Danish.
Uh-huh.
He had a wife and kid there. He said, oh, yeah, it's mine from when I was a kid kind of thing, blah, blah, blah.
In Japan,
he goes, I'd sold all the games, he said, which is unfortunate, because I was like, oh, maybe he had some Japanese games or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he goes, yeah, works fine. Showed me, popped in a copy of, I think he had, like, Pokemon games still. He popped in Pokemon Yellow, switched it on just to show that the light was working and it powered up and stuff, and turned it off. And I was like, yeah, 500 kroner. Mobile paid him, left. Game Boy Light.
And have you had much time to?
I played a little bit of Hammer and Harry on it in the
and
car.
How was
on
that
the back.
Compared to?
Ergonomically, I'm not sold
not
on
very
it.
Comfy on the back.
It's just because of the back things. I don't know where I should put my fingers, because I tend to like kind of scoop it under, and so I'm not.
You might
too
get
sure
used to
if
it.
I'll
you
get
stop
used
thinking
to it.
About it and just go for it. Getting ghost in a game, then you'll probably forget about that.
The batteries on it were pretty well worn. They're like odd batteries, and I was like, oh my god, the screen isn't really that bright. Like, I could see it. Like, there was the light did contrast enough that I could see
it. Isn't it?
It is.
I think in the dark, if you use it in the dark, then you'd really see it.
No, but like, even like when you play a Game Boy, obviously, like, your eyes need to, like, you really need to kind of straighten your eyes to see that there's a difference between the light and the foreground. I see, like, it's almost like playing a Game & Watch, but the Game & Watch screen is a bigger area, so it's not as obvious. Then I got it home, and I put in new batteries. World difference.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really nice. I don't know if it compares to a backlit one or an AGS 101, but as a thing that was available commercially in the 90s, I think it's probably the best original Game Boy experience you can hope to have.
I think that's common perception.
It is, and I mean,
console.
Yeah, sure, Game Boy Color's got some nicer processing power, and obviously it's got colour, so
it's
Game
got
Boy play,
screen.
Game Boy games play a bit smoother on there if you can play them, and like Road Rash or Zaz, and so you can play Game Boy games pretty nicely on it, and I look forward to actually
and
delving
it's a
into
nice
it a bit.
Silver colour.
It is, and it'll be a nice display piece that I will play games on. Like I said, I can't play things like Road Rash or Zaz on it. So.
Did they come in a different colour?
They came in. There is the original silver and gold ones, which
gold.
Were the ones that were in the stores just to show a difference between the Game Boy Pocket. There is a Pokemon Center one, which is gorgeous. It's a Pikachu yellow.
Maybe I've seen it.
It's got the Pokemon Center written on it, and then it's got Pikachus on the screen. And it looks stunning, and I really want it because it just looks so minimalist. Like, it's not like the other Pokemon Game Boys where like there's colourful things everywhere. It's just like an outline of a Pikachu on the screen. It just looks stunning. Then there are versions of it that is in kind of a transparent, like, acid green shell.
Ooh.
Which doesn't look pretty good, which was released in Toys R Us. I think it's the only one that was released
outside
of Japan.
I'm interested, but...
And then there are two with, I've forgotten the guy's name, Astro Boy's creator.
Ah, yes, Tezuka.
Yes, Tezuka graphics on there. They're available in the Astro Boy store in Japan. One of them looks very nice and has a red shell that's kind of see-through with all of the Astro Boy characters
now,
in the center of it, which looks nice.
These, yeah.
And then there's an awful, awful looking kind of like teal color one with Astro Boy's head, like a 3D model of Astro Boy's head, kind of like, turning
that
over the shoulder. It just looks weird. Like, I think it could have done something nicer with it. If you're going to put Astro Boy in 3D on it, at least put like the model doing the Astro Boy pose rather than just a... than just a head kind of off to the side. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to actually
that's
getting my hands
great.
On it properly.
That's a great Christmas gift for a Game Boy enthusiast.
Yes, it is.
Such
indeed.
As yourself.
It is. I am loved. And so I also picked up some games. I was lucky enough to pick up a few on this Danish site as well. The guy was selling them for 25 kroner each, but I said, hey, will you do 6 for 100? He goes, yeah, sure.
6 for 100.
Yeah, which is pretty good. I got T2 Judgment Day. Is that what it's called? Is it? Was it
Terminator 2? Terminator 2 is Judgment
Day.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is,
so it's T2 Judgment Day, which is made by LJN and the same people who made Alien 3, so I'm quite tempted to check that out. Crash Test Dummies, which I've heard is a pretty nice game.
I've played the NES version.
It's fine. A port of it, so I've heard it's okay. Top Gun Guts and Glory, because I'd never seen that as a cart anywhere.
Is it more graphic? It's got guts in it.
No, it's just an
F-15
first-person fighter jet game. But
on Game Boy.
Yeah, as it's very expensive, I found out later on eBay that I was like, well, £2. I'm not complaining that.
Bargain.
I then got 3 Mickey games. 2 of them are made by Kemco, which they also then rejig, depending on which territory you're in, into like Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castles or Hugo and these other kind of games that are just sprite swapped. And then there's one by Capcom, which I've forgotten the name of, Mickey Mouse's Dangerous Chase, I believe, which is supposed to be a very good Capcom platformer, in the vein of like DuckTales or something. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to playing that. And then I picked up yesterday, I was out and about shopping for Christmas presents with my girlfriend, and I went into a second-hand store that me and Tom like to frequent whenever we go to Aarhus. And I asked, I said, hey, we're going to need new Game Boy games in, because I do it every time I go in there. And he goes, the boss was in the attic, he said the other day.
The boss.
And he said, he pulled out this box, and he said, like, it was covered in dust, and he opened it up, and he said, there's a load of Game Boy Advance games. So they're all there, he said, they're cheap, we're just trying to get rid of them, because we didn't even realize we had them.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there. They had Metroid, the NES Classic version boxed for 99 kroner. They had a copy of Final Fight 1 for 49 kroner.
Game Boy Advance.
And they also had a copy of Guilty Gear for the Game Boy Advance, which I rang Tom and asked, but he already had for 60. And I was like, well, I'll put the Guilty Gear down then. If Tom's already got it, then I'm not really that interested in it. And went to the counter, and it turned out there was 24% off. So I pretty much got them for 100 kroner for both. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, well, NES Classic games tend to go for quite a bit because they've got the traditional black box design. I don't own Metroid 1 on any state or form. Like
Neither do I.
I've not got it on a virtual console, or I don't have it on the NES. So I'm quite happy to finally only copy that, so I don't have to play it on an emulator. And Final Fight 1's amazing. It's a very good port from what I remember. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that.
Oh, you can't go wrong with Final Fight.
You cannot. And it has Guy in it. So
even better.
Indeed. Hagar for Mayor. And, yeah, anything else you've been playing this week?
I've been playing and enjoying Sonic Boom. Now, I talked about Sonic Boom a little bit last week's podcast, saying that, well, I'm already now half in.
Yeah.
So far, I've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
I played for another hour and 40 minutes this last weekend, and still enjoying it. And
yeah.
I find it very refreshing to play a Sonic game which isn't infuriating and, want of a better word, broken.
Yeah.
As previous Sonic games have always had this little niggling problems that have pissed me off so much. And this game, so far my progression has been smooth, stress-free, frustration-free, and I'm enjoying the game. I think it looks very nice and it plays very well, and thank God that there's variety as well, because we were a little concerned last week it was going to be more repeat, rinse and repeat. But actually, so far, there's been enough new elements introduced to the gameplay which has kept it fresh.
Yeah.
And I still haven't read any reviews of this game, but it's been had a kind of a lukewarm reception. I think it's probably the best Sonic game we've had in years, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's not as Sonic-y as some of the previous games. Like, Sonic Lost World definitely had a Sonic-y feel.
Yeah.
This is less of a Sonic-y feel, but it's still Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Amy and the gang, you know, yeah, fighting Robotnik.
No sexy bats, which is always
no
a plus.
No sexy bats. A dialogue can be a little bit hit and miss. It is frequent, the characters talking. I like how it brings you into the world and makes the characters feel alive.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they say is rather odd at times.
Yeah, like, that's for me. Like, I sat down watching you play it yesterday, and it doesn't seem that bad a game. I would question to you, do you find it fun?
Yes, actually, I do. Okay. I find it's got a real smooth progression.
Okay.
And a sense of, I feel like I'm starting to be challenged more. I mentioned last week that I was collecting all these rings and I wasn't losing any health.
Yeah.
Well, now, yes, I've been forced in situations where you've got new enemies which are a little bit tougher and actually have different attacking patterns and things like that.
Okay, so you have to learn attack patterns and that kind of stuff.
In fact, I say in this game isn't, whoa, groundbreakingly amazing, but it works.
It's a competent game, yeah.
It's a very competent game, actually, okay. And it's a nice-looking game, and it actually reminded me of the kind of game like Knack is.
Yeah.
Knack didn't really break barriers. It maybe was a little bit sparse.
Yes.
There really probably wasn't a lot to it, but at least it was well made.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I would put this before Knack. Like,
yeah.
Knack felt very like, hey, this is very relying on graphics. At least this looks like it's definitely got
more to it than Knack had. But to make a little bit of a comparison of a game which is quite simple but fun, maybe that's to its advantage that it's
okay.
Not trying. Oh, we said this last week. But
yeah,
it actually is rather good. And you even commented you thought the visuals were.
Yeah, I don't think it looks too bad. Like, it looks like a competent game. Like, I'm not gonna, obviously, because I haven't played it. But based on what I saw of that first hour, I wasn't really impressed. Looks alright. It looks like there's variety to it, and I'm on this whole trip of what is a bad game. I wouldn't say it is.
And I still want to play it. I still want next week to spend the same amount of time with the game and. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it again.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a good game in my book.
Okay, cool.
And that's Sonic Boom. I did go back recently and play Micro Machines V3.
After your Toy Box Turbos trip.
On the PS1. And wow, you know, I'd never played V3 properly before.
No.
And I was wondering, half of me was wondering, well, is V3 just Toy Box Turbos, basically? Is the gameplay just the same in that one? Is Toy Box Turbos not really much of a progression? Leaps and bounds ahead, Toy Box Turbos is, compared to V3. V3 hasn't aged greatly.
Well, like I said to you, though, it's an early PlayStation 1 title. I will give it the benefit of the doubt.
And you've got to judge it on that factor. It's an early PS1 game. It does a few things nicely, but the handling isn't as enjoyable as Toy Box Turbos. In fact, it feels unfair, and some of the cars like are so difficult to control.
Yeah.
That it's just inconsistent. It doesn't flow like Toy Box Turbos.
No.
But yeah, it's probably wrong to compare it. But it just goes to show how far video games have progressed.
Yes.
And how good of a game Toy Box Turbos actually is to have refined what they couldn't get right all those years ago.
Yeah.
When they released
V3. Of course,
V3.
Like, this is on a PlayStation 1. This is coming out on the arse end of the PlayStation 3 where they know this hardware like the back of their hands. And dare I say, you know, have a better grasp of 3D capabilities for a racing game, you know? Like, these things have been done properly with your Gran Turismos and stuff now, whereas, obviously, when 3 was launched, it was a very early 3D racer. I mean, if you go back and play the first Ridge Racer and Ridge Racer Revolutions right now, they don't handle too great either, I would say.
They're okay. They're not R4. R-Type 4.
Type 4, yeah.
Type 4. You know, I said R-Type then.
You did say R-Type. I wish they were R-Type. I'd enjoy them then.
V3 has very nice menus.
Though, yeah.
I must say. Very nice styling to them.
Yeah.
And high resolution as
well. Cool again.
I can't say anything more about V3. No, not really. Go and play Toy Box Turbos. It's great.
Okay, cool. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast then, I guess. If you have liked it, please give us a cheeky rate and subscribe in iTunes. You can also listen to this in Stitcher. And let other people know that this exists. If you look at our brother site, blastprocess.com, there will be something coming in the coming weeks before Christmas that will be very exciting.
Something's coming.
You'll get to see our faces, let's just say that. If you want to chat to us, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. And you can also reach us on Twitter at TMAcast.
Or talk to on MSN Messenger.
Yeah, AOL, you know, you can say ASL bibs and we will reply. Okay. And until then, I guess, good night from me, good night from you. And good night.